2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathanael, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Azahel, Shemiramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store, and he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And this may sound like a strange text and title, but I want to preach on the principle of national interest. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we've had to assemble in God's house this morning, and for your presence, and for the truths that we have heard in the singing this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a great God and worthy to be praised. I ask you this morning to help us to live surrendered lives to you. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me, that I'd be able to make known the Word of God to this congregation. And we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on a strange topic. The reason I'm preaching this morning on this topic is because Thursday, May the 1st, is the declared day, National Day of Prayer. And in my text, Judah is favored with a wise and godly leader in Jehoshaphat. And the administration of Jehoshaphat, evidently and according to my text as I read this morning, brought divine blessings upon the nation of Israel. One of the guiding principles of our government is our national interest. And you will hear them talk about that in regard to foreign policy and different things. They'll talk about our national interest. And policies are generated in our national interest, or else they are rejected because they are not in our national interest. So my text sets forth some principles of national interest. As we examine the administration of Jehoshaphat, we can learn some lessons for our own nations. Our own nation. And these lessons are important to us because we labor in prayer not just on the National Day of Prayer, but we labor in prayer for the good of our nation, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And the Scriptures command us to do so. Now this Thursday, May the 1st, is the National Day of Prayer. It was established by the United States Congress, and it was set by Ronald Reagan on this first Thursday of every May. And it's encouraged every year by presidential proclamation. And I trust that this text I have read to you this morning will help us to to pray intelligently for our nation. The national interest of Israel involves several things that I want to bring out in my text. First of all, it involved a pious leader, Jehoshaphat. Secondly, it involved a people informed in the ways of God. Thirdly, it involved a principled policy of alliances. And then fourthly, it involved a prophetic voice to rebuke and direct national leaders. And fifthly, it involved prayer for divine help in crises. Now, I'm going to preach to you about all of those. 5 points. How long y'all got? Well, just hold on a few minutes. First of all, the national interest involved a pious leader. Jehoshaphat was a man of prayer. A man who sought the Lord, who set himself to seek the Lord. This man was a pious leader. And I say, and I do pray for our leaders, that they will be praying people, that they will be pious people, that they will be saved people, that they will be born again people, that they will be able to pray and God hear their prayers. Now, it's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to pray and get God's attention. And it takes, you know, a born-again experience for a person to pray and get God's attention. So we pray for our leaders to be born again of the Spirit of God so that they can pray and get God's attention. Jehoshaphat was a man who set himself to seek the Lord. He was a pious leader. Secondly, national interest involved a people informed in the ways of God. And in my text, I read to you how that Jehoshaphat sent teams of godly leaders throughout the nation of Judah to instruct the people in the ways of God, teach them the law of the Lord, teach them the ways of God. You know, I know this is the strangest thing you've ever heard in your life, but I believe that the national interest of the United States of America involves a people instructed in the ways of God. And whenever we lose our understanding of the ways of God, when we reject the Word of God, then we have gone against our national interest, brother. And we are in trouble when we have rejected and lost the knowledge of God and the ways of God and no longer understand who the Lord is and what His Word declares. And this is the kind of society that we are living in, is a society that has lost its bearings. It's lost its compass. It's lost its ability to direct because we've lost the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, we know that our political leaders are not going to be the teachers of the Word of God. But we have an institution in this country that is supposed to be teaching the Word of God, and it is the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the ones to be instructing the people in the ways of the Lord. So we don't come to church just to be entertained. We don't come to church just to dress up and show off our new clothes. We come to church to be instructed in the ways of God. And this is the responsibility of the church across this land, is to make sure that our people in this country understand who God is, understand the ways of God from the Word of God. And brother, an informed people from the Word of God is essential to the national interest of this country. So we're to pray that God will help us give revival in this country, all across this country. And I pray from east to west and north to south that God will raise up godly leaders in the house of God who will proclaim the truth of the Word of God and instill in the people of this land the principles of the Word of God. That is critical to our national interest. Thirdly, a principled policy of alliances. Now, this is not in my text. It happens later on in the next chapter that Jehoshaphat, this godly leader, makes an alliance with Ahab, who is the ruler of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Ahab is married to Jezebel. And we know that Ahab and Jezebel collectively, together, worked against the true knowledge of God and the worship of God. And God raised up a man in that northern kingdom to oppose their policy of exterminating the worship of the true and living God. And that man's name was Elijah. And Elijah opposed the policies of Ahab and Jezebel. And here is Jehoshaphat, this godly leader, making an alliance with Ahab, the leader of Israel. That alliance led to disaster. Ahab secured the support of Jehoshaphat in a war against the Syrians to take back Ramoth-Gilead. And in this battle, Jehoshaphat almost lost his life, and Ahab was killed, and the prophet Micaiah prophesied it would be so, and told that it would be a disaster. And Jehoshaphat, because of his alliance with Ahab, ignored the warning of Micaiah and went into this battle, almost lost his life, and Ahab was killed in this battle. It was a disaster. Well, wrong alliances lead nations into bad circumstances and situations. And our country has not been, very careful in the alliances that we have made. It works for nations as well as individuals. Choose your friends wisely. You'll soon be what they are. And it's important as a nation that our alliances, that we are careful with the alliances that we engage in as a nation. And we should pray about that to this end, that God would give our leaders wisdom about the alliances that we make. There is peer pressure in nations just like it is in individuals. You hear me? I said there's peer pressure in nations just like it is in individuals. America is very much influenced by European values. And Europe is in a post-Christian era, and America is very much influenced by European values. We should pray that God will help us to disentangle ourselves from any influence in the wrong direction. That God would help us to cast off influences that take us down the wrong road, away from God and away from the principles of the Word of God. This is intelligent praying, and this is in the national interest of the United States of America. Fourthly, the national interest of Israel and of this nation involves prophetic voices. There was prophetic voices in Jehoshaphat's nation that rebuked him and gave him direction. There was the voice of Jehu, the prophet, who came to Jehoshaphat and rebuked him for his alliance with Ahab. And then there was the voice of the prophet in the time that Israel or Judah was being attacked by nations around them, and Jehoshaphat was afraid, and they were praying about this host that was coming against them, and God spoke to Jehoshaphat through a prophet to encourage him, to let him know God is going to fight this battle for you, and you won't have to fight it. So God had a prophetic voice. In other words, the government, God had the ear of the government through his spokesman in Judah. And I say that that's critical for the United States of America, that God have the ear of the political leaders in this country, and that God have men, prophetic men, who can speak to the government in this country, warn them, encourage them in the right direction, give direction in crisis, that it's important that there be men, prophetic men, who can speak to the government in our nation for the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, brother, this is important in the national interest of this country. When men try to run things apart from God, when there is no direction from God, when it's all done by the imagination of men and the wisdom of men, it only leads to disaster down the road. But when God can get his voice in the midst of things, when God can speak and the government can hear the voice of God, then God can warn our leaders, encourage them in the right direction, and give direction to our nation in crisis times. And I say we should pray, God, open the ears of our government and raise up prophetic voices that can speak to our government in times like we live in right now. It is God's purpose, not that the church govern the nation, but it is God's purpose that the church be the voice of conscience in the nation. And when the church is silent, and when the church is not exercising the influence that it's supposed to exercise, the government will invariably go in the wrong direction when there is not the voice of conscience coming from the Church of Jesus Christ. So we must pray for a prophetic voice, and we must pray for our government to hear that prophetic voice. Finally, the national interest of Israel involved prayer for divine help in time of crisis. Judah was attacked by the Ammonites, Moabites, Midianites. A host was coming against them. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. And so instead of asking for help like his father had done from heathen nations around him, he sought to the Lord for help. And when he sought to the Lord for help, God spoke, as I told you a while ago. God spoke through the prophet and told him, "Don't worry, I'm going to fight this battle for you. You're not even going to have to fight. All you got to do is just gather up the spoils. I'm going to fight this battle for you." I want you to know, brother and sister, our greatest protection is not in our warplanes or tanks or bombs. Our greatest protection is in the people of God who pray and call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter how many planes, bombs, or whatever you've got, if you don't have people of character in your country, this, my brother, is the strength of a country, is the people of character in that country. Praying people is the strength of a nation. And in the time of crisis, you understand, it was the prayers of God's people that saved the nation of Judah. And it's the prayers of God's people that's going to save this nation. If we do not have people of character, it don't matter how many planes we've got, or bombs we've got, or how many rifles we've got, or how accurate our weaponry is. That don't matter. If we're not people of character and people of prayer, all of those things do not matter. David said in Psalms, he said, "Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Oh, we've got a great God, people. I'm telling you, we've got a great God. He's greater than all the nations put together. As we read in Sunday school this morning, in our Sunday school, the nations of the world are just like the dust on the scales to Him. They are nothing compared to our God. And when we are trusting in the name of the Lord, I'm telling you, brother, God never fails. Look at little Israel over there, surrounded by all of those nations. 3 million people opposed to 80 million people. And they survived and won and came through because God gave them the victory. It doesn't matter what the odds are if God is for us. And prayer is the key, brother and sister. Now, May the 1st, this day of prayer, we'll be in convention. And of course, we'll be praying during convention. But I want you to specifically pray for our country, not just on May the 1st, but it's all through the year. I want you to be sure to pray for the United States of America. I believe that the people of God are the most critical factor in the survival of the nation, our nation. And our prayers make the difference. Brother and sister, a holy people, a sanctified people, a people that know how to pray, that know how to get in touch with God, a people that can get through to the Lord is worth more than all the armies that we can assemble. Jesus is our Savior, not just of our soul, but of our nation as well. And so, I've told you, I don't know, I hope you caught it now. All of these things is what involves our national interest. Now, these are not things that are talked about in Washington, in the halls of government. But what I have told you this morning are the things that matter the most to our national interest. And I love this nation. I love our country. I've been to other countries. I have been, Brother Mike, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Mike and I both have been to Haiti. And when I came back to the United States of America, I felt like kissing the ground, brother. I'm telling you, we live in a blessed country. It is wonderful. This country is a wonderful country. And the reason for it is that God's blessed us. It's the blessings of God. And we can forfeit those blessings if we fail to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. We can forfeit those blessings. When you go to other countries and see the abject poverty and the degradation, I can tell you that the root of that is sin. The root of that is sin. And when people will seek the face of God and put God first, hallelujah, oh glory to God. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God will provide for those people who put Him first in life. And if you and I understand the importance of what I've preached to you this morning, we can continue in a nation blessed of God. But if we don't understand the importance of what I've preached to you, we will experience the judgment of God continuing in this land, unabated and even growing worse, if we fail to understand what is in our national interest. I want us to stand together this morning. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. I'd like for us to have a prayer this morning. And I'd like for our prayer to focus on our nation. God would have mercy upon us. Y'all, there's a lot of things I wanted to talk about that I didn't think about. And I really don't have time to talk about a whole lot. But y'all, in England, they are burning aborted babies to heat their hospitals. In Colorado, they found out that they were burning babies, aborted babies in the state of Colorado for heating purposes. Can you believe that? This makes me shiver nearly. I preached on the radio this morning a message I'd preached here. I preached about abortion, shedding innocent blood. And just hearing it again, just hearing that message that I preached on abortion just made me cringe nearly. I'm telling you, brother, we need to get a hold of God for ourselves, our families, and our nation. It's crucial. It's critical. Come on, let's pray.